appreciate you reading the scripture for us this morning. And good morning. Hey, you know, the holidays did you well. Yeah. I'm excited that you're here. And I know that Christmas is by the by. And you might have already returned some gifts. I don't know. But we're rolling toward 2025, aren't we? And the new year. And I want to say, before 2024 finishes, I want to say that I am very grateful for our pastor, Eric Hallworth. He doesn't know that I'm doing this, but yeah. Thank you, Pastor Eric and Elsie, that he's holding this morning. Yeah. So I was encouraged because I know that this time of year can be very busy for a pastor for a lot of different reasons. And so when he asked me to step in and help today, I agreed. Oh, I know what I need. I need the clicker. Anybody have a clicker back there? I always forget that thing. Thank you. Good servants they are. So here's the question, does it work? Oh, there's the on button. Oh, there we go. It's amazing. Oh, that's what we needed. Go to black. So we can pray, all right, without distraction. Let's bow together and pray. Thank you, our Father, that you love us so much, that you've been faithful to us this past year. Thank you for your provision in our families, here at the church. God, you're so good. And we love you. And we love that you have left the Word of God written in our language that we can look at and study and delight in. Help us to know how to do all those things this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am so encouraged to see your faces this morning. The fact that you are here says a lot about you and the direction of your life. It says that you are taking steps toward a fruitful life. I learned that from Psalm 1. So let's look at it together. Psalm 1. Did you notice in most of your Bibles, it will say right above verse 1 of Psalm 1, it will say Book 1. That's because the Psalter has been divided into five books within the Psalter. And at the end of each book, there's already in the Hebrew a kind of doxology. And that's true for each of the five books. Each of the five books also contain different types of psalms. Sometimes it's thanksgiving. Sometimes it's praise, like declarative praise or descriptive praise. Sometimes they're psalms of ascent into Jerusalem to the temple to worship. There are many different types of psalms. Psalm 1 is classified as a wisdom psalm. And it has general principles. In fact, these principles are so general that the compilers of the five books of the Psalter put it at the beginning because it's like a doorway into the psalms, all the psalms, okay? So what's its message? I mean, if it's a doorway into the entirety of the Psalter, then its message should be important. Well, let me give you the message of Psalm 1. A person rightly related to God brings all of his life to a successful completion, and the evildoer does not. Now, here at the start of 2025, I want to call your attention to verse 2 of Psalm 1 because it uses this word delight. The Hebrew means to feel great favor towards something attractive to us. All right? Based on the verbal root, as all nouns in Hebrew are, they're based on a verbal root. And the verbal root means to experience emotional delight. It's directed toward whatever interests us or delights us or what we are fanatical about. Now, some of you are very fanatical about sports teams. I'm a Seahawks fan. Well, that's good. I used to be a big Cowboys fan until they fired Tom Landry. So we all have things that we're fanatical about. Maybe it's a hobby or a project or a spouse or a family. That's what this word involves. It suggests the direction of our face. So my question to you this morning is this. What is the direction of your face? Where are you looking? What gets your attention? What turns your head? What is the direction of your face? Because where you're going shows the path that you're taking. So that's part of the reason why I'm so glad you're here this morning. You've chosen well. Now, you say to me, well, John, my face is toward many things. Well, that could be good. Multiple interests are not a bad thing. You can have multiple interests, and we're not even talking about the amount of time you spend at something. If that were the case, then it would look like your job is your delight, and it might not be. But what is it that grabs your attention? What is the path you're taking? What's your preference? What turns your head? And not just your head, but your heart. Where's your heart? I put it this way. Whatever repeatedly takes priority in your life determines the direction of your life. If I want comfort, then I will pursue the things that make me more comfortable. If I want to look good, if I want to be respected, I will pursue things that help with that. If it's money or a bigger house, by the way, Christmas time seems to bring it out, doesn't it? As we're shopping and looking for gifts for other people, we walk by things and we say, I hope somebody gives me that one. What is the direction of your face? Again, the desire of my heart is the direction of my life. That's what Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3 teaches us. And I'm focusing only on verses 2 and 3 in this psalm. because what delights my heart directs my life. That's wisdom. So we could put it this way, if it'll come up. A person who delights in God's word bears fruit for God. I know you want to be fruitful for God in 2025, so let's talk about how to get that done. Let's talk about how the Word of God and our time in the Word of God really does direct our entire year, depending on our attitude toward the Bible. A person who delights in God's word bears fruit for God. People who are rewarded by God and blessed, according to verse 1, are those who set their face toward the Bible. This person's delight, verse 2 says, is in God's law. Now, you would expect the verse to say, this person's delight is in the promises of God, or this person's delight is in the songs of the Psalter, or something else. But no, this person's delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, what is meant by the law? Well, the law is used in a lot of different ways in the Bible. Sometimes it refers to the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20. Sometimes the word law refers to all the books of Moses, the first five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Sometimes the word law refers to the entirety of the Old Testament. But we should think of law as being God's commands and God's word wherever we find it. And that includes our New Testament in our case. So our delight should be in the entirety of the Word of God. But remember, he found great delight, whoever wrote this, found great delight in the Bible. And his Bible was the first five books, maybe Joshua. That was it? You mean there were no Psalms yet? No, not yet. Were there promises? Yes, oh yes. Stories of the patriarchs, full of them. But he rejoiced. He found delight. It turned his head. He looked at it often. That's what it means. Now the key in verse 2, do you notice what it is? It's the word meditate. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law, in God's word, the happy person meditates on God's word day and night. Continually, repeatedly during the day, and if you're awake at night. So you concentrate, you meditate, and the word means to murmur, to say God's word in your mind over and over and over again. Yeah, I don't encourage you to turn on the light in the bedroom to read it, right? So what you want to do is have it in your mind already so that when you wake up at night in the dark, you start thinking it through. Thinking it through. It should be a part of the fiber of who you are. I want you to listen to the words that God gave to Joshua, who is the commander of Israel and the armies of Israel who were entering the promised land. And God told him what was important as he entered the land to fight these battles. And what's important? Sharpen your swords. Make sure you have enough ammo. No, Joshua 1:8. This is what he said to him. God said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success." So the key to this whole thing, according to verse 2, is you spend time in the scriptures. Read it again, read it again. Yeah, but I'm on a Bible read-through plan and I'll never get done. There should be two things you're doing. Reading through the Bible and get the overview, but also rereading portions of the Bible to take you deeper into the text of God's Word. That's what it means to meditate. That's what it means to murmur. Allow the Bible to flood your thinking all day long. So while you're driving and you hit one of those persistent stoplights, you can stop and start quoting because it's already up here. You've read it so many times. It's already up there. So you quoted. Or while you're waiting in line. This holiday season, it seems like a lot of us have been waiting in lines. You can be quoting scripture in your thinking. So in 2025, I'm encouraging all of us to delight in our Bibles. And it's one thing to delight in the Bible, and it's another thing to do it. James 1 says very clearly and emphatically, be doers of the word. Don't be hearers only. Don't just rattle it around in your brain. Listen to what it says enough to do it and apply it in your life. That's the key. Now, the person God blesses then delights in their Bible. And a person who delights in their Bible bears fruit for God. So what does happen when we habitually delight in our Bible? Well, that's verse 3. Verse 3, we discover that habitual delight in the Bible produces lasting fruit for God. Look at it. When you do that, you delight in your Bible, but you'll be just like this tree that's planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf also does not wither, and in whatever he does, this person prospers. Has anybody in the room ever been to the Olympic National Park and visited the Ho Rainforest up there on the west slopes of the Olympic Mountains? Anybody? Why are they all over here in the back? Well, as you can well imagine, from a rainforest, there's a high level of water coming down in the whole rainforest. And everything is so green. In fact, it's full of moss. And the trees, they're huge in the whole rainforest. That's the picture here. Because that's a tree planted by rivers of water. Why is it so big? Because the source is water. In our case, the source is the Word of God. It's our Bible. It's the person of Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. we become planted into Him. We become planted into the Bible, and the result, well, what are the characteristics of a person who's rooted in the Bible? According to verse 3, first characteristic is they're stable. It's rooted. If a plant or a tree is well rooted, it's hard to pull it up. I know, I've tried to pull up some weeds with heavy roots. And if the roots are strong, it won't be uprooted. Okay? You're stable. No matter what happens, no matter what 25 brings, and I'm a little fearful of the transition again this time between presidents, because it seems to me we are vulnerable as a nation. But am I going to fear? No, because I am praying. And so many of you are praying. And Christians throughout the world are praying. And we do it, why? Because we're rooted in the Word of God. And people who are rooted in the Word of God are stable. No matter what is changing on the world scene, no matter how bad we think it might be, we do not fear because we're rooted in God's Word. And what's the second one? Fruitful, right? Planted, firmly planted by streams of, and yields its fruit in its season. By the way, fruit on many trees, it's seasonal, right? Fruit trees are seasonal. Other trees are seasonal, even though they're not fruit trees. And what we need to understand is it's not all the time that we see fruit, but sometimes we do. And whatever that season is, God wants to see fruit. Well, wait a minute. What's the fruit? How about the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. You ought to be producing love and joy and peace and, dare I say, patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are just some of them. Qualities of the indwelling Christ. Basically, that's the fruit. So are we Christ-like in 2025? Because if we are rooted in the Bible, we will be fruitful. And that's not the only kind of fruit. Also included is people coming to know the Lord Jesus because we have spoken the gospel to them and invited them to trust Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples the night before he was crucified in John 15, verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. And your fruit will remain." That's an amazing statement because Jesus' followers fled from the cross. But Jesus says, that won't happen to you. Your fruit will remain. What a privilege, men and women, to have the Holy Spirit of God permanently indwelling us so that our fruit will remain. Amen. And then we discover its leaf does not wither. Now, in gardening, plants, especially this time of year, can look pretty sick. Have you noticed that? A lot of them die. The leaves die. They're on the ground. Then we have to rake them up. And yeah, we have to clean up this time of year because everything's going dormant. But not you. Because your roots go deep into the Word of God. And your leaf doesn't wither. It's, how about this? If somebody claims to be a Christian and they've deconstructed their faith and say, I don't want to be a Christian anymore, they were never one in the first place. Because a true believer goes deep into the Word of God. A true believer is rooted, and his leaf does not wither. Ah. I'm asking God to make Laurelwood Baptist Church that kind of church in 2025. Not only that, according to verse 3, whatever this person does, they prosper. And the word means to bring to successful completion. We're not talking prosperity theology here. We're talking successful completion of life all the way to the end. I'd like you to listen to Jeremiah 17. The prophet Jeremiah compared the man who is cursed with the man who is blessed in 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That man's cursed. But blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. In fact, whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like, now listen to this, he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. He will not fear when heat comes, but his leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to bear fruit. Now, when I think of that kind of man, I think of my dad. He lived until he was 98. He was saved. He doesn't remember when, somewhere when he was 4 or 5. Think about how many years he walked with the Lord, because he never wavered. He reminds me of Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. This psalm says, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. So I guess we could say that the older you get, the more you've been in the Word, you become more sappy. No, that's not it. Bad joke. All right, so my dad, though, is described here. That's the reason I enjoy it so much, because I thought, wow, that's my dad. That's what happens. Because every morning he would get up, he would start the furnace in our house. We had a wood-burning furnace, and he would start it up, and he'd put his elbows on the stump and pray, and he had his Bible open every single morning. What was he doing? He's rooting himself in the Word of God. He was rooting himself in the Lord through prayer. He'll finish life very well. So what am I encouraging you to do? I'm encouraging you to be fruitful, a fruitful tree. Now think about this with me. I'll ask you again, what gets your attention? What's the direction of your face? If you want full joy in the Lord in 2025, pursue Him. Delight in your Bible and stay away from sin. I skipped verse 1 because it's ugly. The way we can slip into sin. Stay away from sin. Instead, root yourself in the Word of God. That's why I'm so encouraged this morning that you are listening to His Word. You're taking steps toward a fruitful life. Now, I have another question before we finish, and that is this. When you leave the church, or time together with others in the church, do you still delight in your Bible? How do I delight in my Bible when I leave here? Well, I ask you, do you know the joy of making discoveries in the Bible to feed your own soul? You say, well, I would like to know. Start meditating. Read it again. Well, John, you've given us two tasks. One, you've been alluding to reading through the Bible this year. And then you're talking about getting stuck somewhere and diving deep. The answer is yes. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Second, try meditating on a single verse during the day. Again, while you're driving, while you're exercising on the treadmill, say that verse again. Here's the first one you should start with. Psalm 1, verse 2. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law meditate day and night. Got it? All right. So during the day, every once in a while, revisit that verse and what it means. Until it just becomes a part of you, so that if you wake up in the middle of the night and sit bolt upright in bed, you can recite it. Right there and there. Okay? It becomes a part of the fabric of who you are. Third, do you read your Bible regularly during the week? Now, our church will provide, already has available, some Bible read-through, a good Bible read-through plan for this year. So, that's good. But also, you might be overwhelmed by trying to read through the Bible in a year. That's fine. Start somewhere. Have a simple plan. May I suggest one? Look with me at Psalm 119 as we finish our time together. Psalm 119, I'm going to be reading 97 through 104. Now look at these verses carefully and understand this, that Psalm 119 is all about the Bible. Sometimes it says statutes, sometimes it says law, sometimes it says your precepts, sometimes command, but almost every verse in Psalm 119 refers to your Bible. Now look with me at verse 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day. Your word makes me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers and preachers, for your word is my meditation. I understand more than the ages because I have observed the precepts of the Bible. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not turned aside from your word, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet is the Bible to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From the Bible you have given to me, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, you'll notice that Psalm 119, you might have noticed that it's divided into sections. This was the MAME section. You'll see that before verse 97. That's because Psalm 119 follows the Hebrew alphabet in dividing it into sections. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, Vav, Zion, Kaf, Taf. 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now it's become possible to read it and not be overwhelmed. And so if you're overwhelmed by reading the entirety, how about Psalm 119 during 2025? You could read one of these sections each week. 22 weeks later, you finish Psalm 119. Then what? Do it again. Do it again. Are you with me? Some of you are real quick with that. You know, it's 52 weeks. At 22, I'm done. Oh. What am I trying to say? Delight in your Bible in this coming year. Do like you've done this morning. And set your face toward the Word of God. There's rich reward in taking those steps. Now, let's close by bowing our heads together, and I want you to take some time in your own heart to meditate on what's been said, and to do business with God right now. I'll give you a few seconds, and then I will close in a moment. Silent now, pray to God.